Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. Today we are going to review two IPA beers. Both are normal ABV IPAs, but the second one is a slightly higher ABV IPA. They are in order: Shapeshifter West Coast IPA and Beer of Bands IPA. Our first contestant this week is the Shapeshifter West Coast IPA from the Four Pure Brewing Company in London, England. Four Pure Brewing Company was founded in 2013 by two brothers, Dan and Tom. The company is based in London. For their production, the two brothers have been inspired by their many and long journeys. Shapeshifter West Coast IPA is a beer inspired by the nature along the west coast of the United States. They must have some spectacularly out of this world uniquely merged senses between eyes to taste buds. And how do you brew accordingly to your sensing eyes? What a wonderful landscape and what a spectacular lake. Doesn't it just look like an IPA beer should taste? You're crazy, I reply. Oh, no, the beer is very watery. Curtains. This Shapeshifter West Coast IPA beer assortment isn't mentioned on Four Pure Brewing Company's website, at least not any longer. The IPA assortment contains water, barley malt, hops, and most certainly yeast. The hops are all of the American sorts: Citra, Mosaic, and Centennial. This IPA beer has got an IBU bitterness of 55, which is high enough for an IPA beer. Many IPA beers have an IBU of a mere 40, but the IBU in beers can in some rare cases range up to 120. This particular beer was good until September 2021, according to the best before date on the can, which I purchased approximately 6 months ago. So the item can't have been flying off the shelf. But that doesn't automatically mean that this IPA beer is a bad beer. This particular beer has been sitting in my cooler for the whole duration since I purchased it. It is the best before date, not the expiration date, that is stamped on the can. So it should still be good. The Shapeshifter West Coast IPA assortment comes in a European standard 33 centiliters, or about 11 liquid ounces can. The can is uniquely blue, silver, and white colored, and it features a darker blue moray eel, I think it's called, going for a man sitting in a canoe on the surface above. It gives you Jaws vibes. Today, the Four Pure Brewing Company's cans are standard dull with a metallic background and with only the text Four Pure in big letters and a small text mentioning the beer type in between Four and Pure. Unimaginative. And a sagging market gimmick for sure. The beer costs about 20 Swedish kronor, i.e. $2.10. That is about 75 cents per 4 ounces of beer, which is really cheap for an IPA beer. The preferred serving temperature is, according to Systembolaget, 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 50 to 54 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing on their website about preferred serving temperatures. 10 to 12 degrees Celsius is pretty standard for an IPA beer, but preferred serving temperatures can be as high as 12 to 14 degrees Celsius for an ale. I'm not sure I've come across a recommended 12 to 14 degrees Celsius for an IPA beer, though. Shapeshifter West Coast IPA has got a 5.9% ABV. How about the experience then? About 10 degrees Celsius it is. And that's about 49 degrees Fahrenheit. So let's see here. 49, 10 to 12, 50. Yeah, that's about it. It's pretty accurate, I guess, if you compare Celsius with Fahrenheit. Okay, let's open the beer. I think just one moment. Okay. Let's open it up. It's got not even a one finger tall head, but okay. And the color is yellowish, orange. Let's see. Let's light up the lamp. It's yellowish in color, yellow. And it's cloudy, very cloudy. Can't see my finger through the glass. It's got a hoppy aroma, a good aroma. The first impression, hoppiness, very nice hoppiness in it. It's a very good beer. It's rich. Is it bread-like? More like yeasty. But maybe regular bread taste. Syrup bread, but it's not syrup in this beer. There's no syrup in it. But a syrupy beer, bread. A syrup bread, maybe. They have brewed this beer without syrup, for sure. And that is good. You shouldn't have syrup in beers, just to enhance the taste. You don't enhance it very much. Can it even be worse? Well, it depends on how it's brewed. Is it malty? Well, can't sense any maltiness in it. Not much. No, just hoppiness. And the taste on my palate is that it's hoppy. I don't think it's sweet. No, I don't think so. No, it isn't. But it's bitter and hoppy. It's not candy-like, wouldn't say. Mango taste, yeah. So it's a fruity, it's mango taste fruitiness. There might be some spices in it, yes, I think so. But I don't think there are any herbs in it. The undertone is a little bit spicy. One moment. Carbonation level. Sorry. Well, the carbonation level is okay. I guess it's not creamy, it's not acidic, and there are no aberrations. Yeah. Hints of when I said it. What's it called? The fruitiness. Anyway, it was what I said. So what about grading then? Mango fruit. What about grading then? I grade this beer. Nine devils out of 10 possible. Yes, I think I graded nine devils out of 10 possible. For an IPA beer, I would even grade it higher, 10 devils out of 10 possible. So it is a really good beer. I have a little bit a habit of giving great reviews, but they sell a lot of good beers at Systembolaget. Some bad beers, but mostly good beers. So they end up high in my grading, m many of them, not all of them. Some get very low gradings. But 10 devils out of 10 possible as an IPA beer, and as a beer, 9 devils out of 10 possible. Okay. Let's move on to our next contestant. Our second contestant for today is the Uppsala IPA beer of Bands from the Swedish brewery Train Station Brewery. Uppsala IPA beer of Bands is a tribute to local music bands. All of the bands' names are printed on the front label of the bottle. The beer is brewed in the Knivsta community or Uppsala County, some 17 kilometers southeast of the city of Uppsala. The ingredients in the Uppsala IPA beer of Bands are water, malted barley, hops, and yeast, according to the bottle. The beer is unfiltered. There is just one kind of hops in it, and it is of the American sort Simcoe. I know nothing about the top sort of the hop sort Simcoe, apart from that it is an American hop sort. But the brewery says that Simcoe is especially known for its complexity and fruity flavor. It also says on the bottle that, quote, "If you're not really into beer, buy something else," end quote. Well, we will soon call their cards. This particular beer is good until and halfway into October 2022, according to the best before date on the bottle. I'm well ahead of time here, Still, I bought this beer on the same occasion as I bought the first reviewed beer in this podcast episode. The Uppsala IPA Beer of Bands assortment comes in a standard long-necked, nowadays typically Swedish bottle. The bottle is sized 33 centiliters, or about 11 liquid ounces. The bottle's label is two-folded, and the front label is orangey, yellow, with a locomotive in a golden sphere on the upper part of the label, and red and black text stating the brewery's name and the beer assortment's name on the lower part of the front label. And there are as many as four locomotives on a golden background on each side on the front label. I'd say that the front label, the front paper label, is very appealing. I can conclude that this beer assortment costs about 29 Swedish kronor, i.e. $3.10. That is about $1.10 per 4 ounces of beer. That is in the higher price range of IPA beers, especially since it is not imported from the US or somewhere else far away. The preferred serving temperature is, according to Systembolaget, 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. That's a low temperature range, and it certainly isn't usual, but it isn't unprecedented either. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures on, on their website. Beer of Bands IPA has got a 6.5% ABV. How about the experience then? Excuse me. Okay, the experience. Let's open it up. Not even a one finger tall head. Half a finger, more like. This beer is feculent and orangey brownish. Yeah, I would say so. This is strange. This beer tastes almost exactly, for my first impression, almost exactly as the former beer. It's just as good. And it's got this the same not the same aroma, but the same taste. The same hop taste. If someone would have poured these two beers into two glasses, I would not been able to tell from knowing these beers which beer belongs to who. So, to what brewery? But, yeah. It's got a good aroma, but not as strong as the former beer. First impression is that it's a good beer. Very good. It's also rich. And is it bread-like? again with the syrupy beer, but there's no syrup in this beer. I mean the syrupy bread test, but it's not a syrup in it. There is no syrup in it. It's yeasty. Perhaps this, yes, yeasty, not malty. Taste on my palate. Mango taste, perhaps not very distinct, but peach or mango. No mango, but not as distinct as the former beer, but perhaps some mango. I don't know. Maybe not. But it's good. The taste on my palate is hoppiness, spiciness. It's not exactly sweet, no, it's not. It's not sweet. It's bitter and hoppy. Not quite as hoppy as the former beer, but it's still hoppy. It's not candy-like. And the fruitiness is somewhat mango-like. Maybe. Let's not go nuts here. Let's skip the mango and just say that it's bitter and hoppy and spicy. I don't think there are any herbs in it. At least not that I can sense. The undertone is hoppiness, and the carbonation level is I don't know. Let's see later on. It's not creamy, it's not acidic, and there are no aberrations. It's not pine needle. No, it's not. It's the hoppiness. It's hoppy. I have nothing else to say about this beer. Except, okay, what about grading then? I have to grade this beer. 9 devils out of 10 possible. As a regular beer, as a beer. And 10 devils as an IPA beer. Just the same result as the former beer got. Yes, I think I will stop here. Okay, absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines. Military or civilian. Excuse me. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. I put out this lesson a day earlier than usual because of the Russian unprovoked aggression against Ukraine. invasion even. I call this lesson Large Scale War in Ukraine. So, Ukraine, a state by Kremlin and Putin called a pseudo-state, is part of Russia? If you had your family riding in a bus in the vicinity, would you violently, with certainty of collateral damage on your own family members, attack that family because they were riding in a bus together with a corrupt bus driver? Or because there was a known right-wing Nazi connection of one of the 40 other passengers riding in the bus, way in the back of the bus? Is that what you do with family members in Russia? Putin is the new Hitler. That's it. There's nothing more to say. Why did he do it? Because he could? Yes, partly. But also, maybe, because his military, his transport aircraft fleet, his helicopters, among other, needs spare parts from the Ukrainian military industry, former USSR military industry. And he needs the money, i.e. the women, that lives in Ukraine for the amusement of Russian men, since he cannot get to the women in the West. What? Did you just say what I thought you said? Yes, I did. What can Ukraine do? They can perhaps move their governmental institutions away from Kyiv and to the south and let the Russian tanks roll deep into Ukraine, but not let the Russian support vehicles far into their country. By attacking the support vehicles in big-scale ambushes with grenade rifles. But I don't know what the environments look like in northern Ukraine. They can also, under controlled forms, demolish totally the industry that can be used for Russia's nuclear capabilities. Why did Putin not strike Ukrainian electricity first? The infrastructure enables rapid operation in Ukraine. The road and railway network is well developed in the country. Russia and Ukraine have the same track gauge on the railway. As far as the road network is concerned, there are 103,150 miles of paved roads and 2,200 miles of unpaved roads. The railway network covers 13,400 miles. 6,400 miles is electrified railway. The railway network is mainly well developed in central and eastern Ukraine and somewhat less developed in western Ukraine. Roads and railways goes in all directions. Economic priorities within Ukraine are mainly its industry, which is mainly located in its eastern area. What can Ukraine expect? We need to first look at the near-time history. In 2014, Russia launched a humanitarian, so to speak, aid convoy to eastern Ukraine. Ukraine opposed this, but eventually agreed to let the aid in if it was reloaded into other vehicles before the border crossing and escorted by the Red Cross. The inspection of the Russian trucks showed that many were almost empty, except for a few sacks of flour. Russia chose to drive the convoy into Ukraine without the assistance of the Red Cross and in a completely different place than the one reluctantly approved by Ukraine. This is where the interesting really begins. After the aid convoy crossed the border, it set course for the industrial city of Luhansk in eastern Ukraine, which Russia identified as in dire need. In, for example, Luhansk, the trucks were unloaded again without international supervision, but did not return immediately and definitely not empty. Instead, extraction of parts for Russia's war critical industry began. During the time that the Russian convoy spent in eastern Ukraine, machinery, parts, and products were loaded from, e.g., a factory in Donetsk that manufactures radar and telecommunications warfare systems. A factory that manufactures parts for some of the Russian nuclear missile systems. And the factory that is the only one in the former Soviet Union which manufactures turbine blades for aircraft engines and engines for helicopters and other critical components for some combat aircraft engines. Don't know if there is something else the Russians still needs from Ukraine. They would most likely want to control the Ukrainian energy sector and their agricultural sector in order to sell energy and crops to the West and other countries in the world. Is Russia backed by God? No, not at all. They're backed by Satan. It's Satan's country now. We wash our hands. Russia is like a mad dog that has grabbed your child and chews on your child's arm at a distance of 10 yards from you. As soon as you make an attempt to move towards the crazy dog, to grab and pull your child to safety, or attack the crazy dog stops chewing and stares you in your eyes, still with its jaws around your child's arm, clearly threatening to instantly tear your child in pieces with its jaws if you continue to move forward. So you stop, and the mad dog starts chewing on your baby's arm again, slowly chewing your baby to death, observing all your movements. Your baby will either be eaten slowly or torn to death quickly. It's up to you, even if the procedure is resumed. Will Russia quit after Ukraine? No. As a matter of fact, the big Swedish island of Gotland in the Baltic Sea is probably next. And then the Baltic states. And then Finland. And then northern Sweden through Finland. And then Scania, the south end of Sweden. And then parts of Norway and Denmark. And then Romania and Bulgaria, perhaps. Something like that. Where is Putin now? Probably his palace in Gelenzik, near the Kerch Strait between Ukrainian Crimea and Russia, is thought to be like an eagle's nest by Putin and FSB and GRU in a situation like this. Okay, see you later, alligator, at a while, crocodile.
Oh, thank you.